From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 22nd day of November 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Senator Debbie Stabenow will assume the chair of the Senate Ag Committee. The CME Group says it will launch a new corn-soybean price ratio option in mid-December. And the Wall Street Journal has reported federal authorities may bring insider trading charges against a whole host of hedge fund managers. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. And hey, don't forget that in just about 26 minutes, we'll check in on the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day in the nearby contracts for the wheat just a bit higher. December at 645 and a half, up one. March at 684 and a half, up a half. The May at 709 and a quarter, three quarters higher. And July unchanged at 720 and a quarter. Hard red from Kansas City up 3 cents in the two nearby December and March contracts. December corn futures back in Chicago, 515 and a quarter, 5.5 cents lower for the day. March down 5.5 as well at $5.29 and a quarter. The May corn at $5.37 and a quarter, down 4 3/4, and July at 5.40 3/4, down a nickel for the day. December futures, 4.83 1/4, down 7 3/4. January beans at $12.21 1/2, 20 higher. March at $12.28 3/4, up 19 3/4. The May at $12.29, 19 higher. July at $12.30 3/4, up 18 3/4. And next year's November at $11.35. up 9 1/4 for the day. December bean meal at $3.33.60, up 7.80. December oil at $49.18, 22 cents higher. Mercantile Exchange live cattle futures, $100.92 1/2, down 52 1/2. February at $104.60, down 42 1/2. January feeders at $117.40, unchanged on the day, and the March contract at $117.70, a nickel higher. December lean hog futures at $69.40 per 100 pounds, up 27 1/2 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Urbana-Champaign, the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. The nearby contract in the crude oil trading at $81.72 a barrel, down 26 cents. Ethanol at $2.08 6/10 cents, a penny and 8/10 lower. Natural gas at $4.27 1/2, down 11 1/10 cents. And the heating oil, otherwise known as diesel fuel, just about 6/10 cents lower at $2.26 8/10. Gold futures for the day at $1,357.70, a settlement price up $5.50 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now just about 52 points lower at 11,152. The U.S. dollar at 78.68 is up 0.17 on the afternoon, and the CRB index at 298.02 is down 0.87 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. We'll start actually with the tornado watch, which is in effect until 6 p.m. this evening. The only county in the WILL listing area is McLean County. There will be others if you're listening in other areas of the state. Tornadoes, hail with 1.5 inch in diameter, thunderstorms, gusting winds up to 70 miles an hour, dangerous lightning are possible. That through 6 p.m. this evening. One county within our coverage area from Urbana-Champaign, McLean County, is in that area. But check your local weather to make sure whether you're covered or not. Here's what the forecast looks like. It says this afternoon, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. It'll be cloudy, a high near 70 degrees, breezy, south-southwest winds between 18 and 23. Tonight, occasional showers, a few thunderstorms. That'll happen before midnight. A low around 35 degrees, south-southwest winds at 10 to 18 miles an hour. They'll become northwesterly with a gust as high as 26 mile an hour. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high of just, 41. North-northwest winds between 5 and 11 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 16. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at the agricultural marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Hey, Kurt, I want to say thank you so much for coming in on Friday of last week for Commodity Week. It was an interesting show. You and Pete Manhart, Dan Zwicker, and John Bondurant had a great conversation.
Oh, it's fantastic. It was. The best part was the old cotton picker part.
You know what, Pete? When I called, Pete answered the phone. He said he didn't realize that I had left all of that. I told you all that was running the whole time. And honestly, I have to talk to the folks and tell them that when we started that show, I didn't do it as usual. And usually the show for the folks that are in studio with me sounds pretty much like it does when it gets done on the air. And when I got to Friday last week, I thought it was, because we had Bondurant on the phone line, I thought it might be interesting to try something a little different. So we sat down and I called John. And then as you heard the beginning of that show, you heard the whole thing. I started the recorders, asked John if it was okay just to let it run, and asked these three guys if it was okay if we just had a conversation. We talked for 50 minutes. It is still up on the website and will be for the rest of the week at willag.org under Commodity Week. Lots of good information. And Neil, yeah, did Pete get in trouble?
Not yet. I don't think his wife knows, so we won't tell her.
You know what? I went to edit and I kind of forgot about that. Usually I take something like that out.
but John's a good guest. A lot of the listeners we visit with, one of the top guests that you have on regularly is John.
Yeah, so if you haven't heard that program, or if you heard Commodity Week but you don't get a chance to listen online, find someplace to go and listen to it. It's 50 minutes and not 27 minutes, which is what Commodity Week really runs. And it's a good program. If nothing else, I will run excerpts and probably mostly the second half of the program on Thursday afternoon during Closing Market Report. But you'll have to pick it up on some of our other stations because it won't air here on the local radio station, the home radio station. So if you're in Watsico or you're in Clinton or you're up in Kankakee, or Kiwanee, I'm sorry, in that area, you'll be able to pick it up on Thursday, at least the second half of the program. So be sure you try to find it on willag.org or one of those radio stations. Okay, so the marketplace continues, and, well, it was an easier day today than it has been for a while. What'd you make of the trade?
Well, it's kind of a mixed trade. You know, beans finished higher along with wheat, corn a little on the defensive side. Corn traded both sides. Corn struggled due to the fact that crude was hard down during the day there, and also the funds were liquidating. Funds sold about 15,000 contracts of corn, so with them being big sellers and corn just down a nickel, I think that's kind of a moral victory. Corn's in a position here where it's resting above support levels, where it's in a position now that once this commodity fund selling runs its course, we could focus back to the fundamentals and see a recovery. Beans gets the star of the day. They came in here and traded kind of mixed last night and was firm most of the day session. Renewed concerns about dryness in the southern hemisphere. Argentina continues to go backwards on moisture situation as far as their forecast goes. It looks like maybe a quarter to half an inch and you know, not much moisture in the forecast. And the trade's starting to get a little bit more concerned about that. And secondly, too, with the break here in the marketplace, trade's geared up to be looking for some more Asia bean business. So we would not be surprised to see the Chinese come in here and announce some sales. But historically, this is a good week for the grain market as we go into the Thanksgiving holiday.
How would you categorize the long term from this point forward? We've had a pretty good drop back. How would you categorize that drop back and whether or not producers need to be worried about it?
Well, it's scary. I mean, this is a good old-fashioned gut check. You know, on the way up there, producers were wanting a break to get stuff bought and replaced on paper. We've gotten the break. Now they wish they had been sellers near the high. So it's an emotional roller coaster. We view this as break as an opportunity to get some cash replacements on. We've been promoting to be cash sellers here on the way up, and we've got producers pretty well where they need to be, hopefully on cash sales. And we view this pullback in here as a opportunity to transfer ownership to paper. There's a lot of strategies you could use to have ownership. You know, you could go option-wise, 20, 30 cents a bushel. You'd have ownership on paper. That's the most you would lose if we don't see the market get up and go, for say. So, you know, as far as producers that want to sell more cash grain, I'd ride it out here for a little bit. And we feel there's one more push to the upside here with the dryness in a good portion of the growing region and the strong demand around there. We feel that the market's just not over yet, and we'll have some higher prices here as we move down the road.
And does that mean for end users, livestock producers in particular, beef cattle producers, poultry producers, the hog producers, they might think about locking in some of their inputs for the coming months?
We feel so. Basically, producers are pretty well sold up, and that as we move down the road in here, it might be kind of hard to secure cash supplies. But like I say, you know, for 20, 30 cents, these option strategies are a tool to get your foot in the door in here. So if this thing takes off later this winter, next spring on dry forecast, you've got some coverage on. It's a high-risk market. It's a dynamic market. We're going to see some bigs up and big downs for some time to come yet, Todd.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Very good.
Hey, that's Kirk Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Okay, now if you'd like to visit our website, please do that. It's willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. There you can hear everything from our pre-opening to our closing market reports, anything in between. Commodity Week 2. If you can't make it there, how about dialing this number, 217-333-3434. We call that our mobile analyst portal. Updated at 10:15 and 3:15, either with the opening or the closing market numbers and a bit of analysis. Now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Senate Budget Chairman Kent Conrad says that he will stay in that post rather than assume the chairmanship of the Senate Agriculture Committee. The decision paves the way for Senator Debbie Stabenow to assume the agriculture chairmanship post. Stabenow said in a news release that she is, quote, ready to lead the Senate Agriculture Committee in the 112th Congress and looks forward to working with colleagues on both sides of the aisle. After years of fighting over a discrimination settlement with black farmers, the U.S. Senate gave approval to a $1.2 billion settlement reached with black farmers to close a class action discrimination lawsuit in what is commonly called the Pigford case. However, it still has to be approved by the House to be finalized. Along with that, the Senate also approved a $3.4 billion lawsuit settlement between Native Americans and the U.S. Department of the Interior. John Boyd, president of the National Black Farmers Association, called it, quote, long overdue justice. The Senate finally did the right thing. They stepped up and told the world civil rights still matter in America. The CME Group will launch options on the price relationship between soybean and corn future prices on December 13th. Soybean-corn price ratio options will be cash settled and will trade on the exchange's trading floor. In a statement, CME says, quote, ratio options will provide market participants with a new tool for trading on the price relationship between corn and soybeans and the subsequent impact on new crop planted acreage. Federal authorities may file a series of insider trading cases against hedge fund traders, consultants, and Wall Street bankers within weeks. The Wall Street Journal reported in its Saturday edition that federal authorities, after a three-year investigation, were preparing insider trading charges against a host of financial players, including investment bankers and hedge fund managers, that could surpass any previous investigations. One area of focus is the use of so-called expert network firms, which command big fees from hedge funds to match them with experts in particular industries. Federal authorities have also been looking into whether investment bankers and others may have tipped off some traders to news concerning negotiations and buyouts of several pharmaceutical companies. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. By the way, if you didn't get a chance to hear Commodity Week, or if you heard it on the radio, you didn't hear all of it, you can visit willag.org right now and listen to the whole 50-minute conversation that we had with not only Dan Zwicker and Kurt Kimmel and Pete Manhart, but also with John Bondurant. We talked about 50 minutes. It's a great conversation. You need to go visit willag.org right now and listen to that program. It's at willag.org. Now, up next, you know, the Freedom to Farm legislation adopted back in 1995 by the U.S. Congress discarded many of the restrictions that had previously caused farmers not to change crops. Under it and farm bills since that time, producers have been able to participate in the farm programs and still make their own cropping choices. The University of Illinois study looked at how acreage patterns have shifted in the United States since Freedom to Farm. I'll have all the details in a moment. The 1995 Freedom to Farm Act gave producers the option to plant what they believed to be their most competitive crops and still participate in the farm program. That choice tenet still underlies today's farm bill legislation, and when comparing the five-year period just before its enactment to the last 5 years, 2005, 6, 7, 8, and 9, there are clear-cut winners and losers in terms of crops and acreage, says University of Illinois farm management specialist Gary Schnittke.
What we saw is a movement towards soybeans and corn, and soybeans from gained 14 million acres from the early period to 2005 to 2009. Corn gained 9 million. So those two crops were the only crops that gained in acres. The other crops, hay and rice, were stable, but the big losers were wheat, barley, and grain sorghum.
Again, when comparing the era from 1990 to 94 to 2005 to 2009, soybeans and corn grew in acres. Crops losing acres were wheat, barley, and grain sorghum, along with corn silage, cotton, peanuts, dry edible beans, and potatoes. To evaluate acreage changes, data detailing acres harvested in the United States by year were obtained from the National Agricultural Statistics Service. Data were collected for all crops with over 1 million acres harvested in 2008. There were 13 of them: soybeans, corn for grain, hay, rice, wheat, barley, grain sorghum, corn for silage, cotton, peanuts, dry edible beans, potatoes, and sugar beets. Acres harvested were averaged for the years 1990 through 94, the years preceding the passage of the 1995 Farm Bill, and 2005 through 2009. Between the early 90s and the late 2000s, soybeans were the crop with the largest acreage increase. It averaged 58.2 million acres harvested in the early 1990s, increasing to 72.2 million acres in the late 2000s. It's a 14 million acre increase, or about 25%. Corn also had a sizable increase of 9.4 million acres, or about 14% from one period to the other. wheat had the largest reduction, from 62.8 million acres to 50.7 million acres, or down 19%. The data, says Schnicki, shows the largest increases in corn and soybean acreages were concentrated in the Great Plains and the Greater Corn Belt.
The state that gained the most in corn and soybean acres was North Dakota, gained 4 million acres. And other big gainers were Minnesota, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Kansas.
Again, the commodities with the largest gains over the period pre- and post-Freedom to Farm were soybean and corn. Wheat, barley, grain sorghum, corn for silage, and cotton experienced the largest losses. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Tim Wells in Moline at 309-797-7369. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Usually we talk with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. They're not available this afternoon, all apparently in a meeting they need to have take place there. So we don't have anybody to talk with the cash grain markets. But I can tell you about some things that are up on our website and what we're going to do over the holiday season. Let's start with that because Thanksgiving, of course, is on Thursday of this week. Friday, Dave Dickey and I are going to take the day off. While the markets are open, we're going to spend that day with our family. We hope that you, on our families, we hope that you understand that. In lieu, what we'll do is we'll record Commodity Week early. That'll happen on Wednesday afternoon. And we'll post it to the website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock that evening. And then we'll use that programming content on some of these radio stations on Thursday for Thanksgiving Day. And I think I told you earlier that I'd run a portion of last week's Commodity Week on Thursday. We're going to do that on Friday so you can pick up the end if you don't have a way to hear what John Bondurant and Dan Zwicker and Kurt Kimmel and Pete Manhart had to say during Friday's show of last week. If you don't have a way to hear the second half of that program, like visiting the website at willag.org, I will make an edit on that, and we'll put that into the Friday program. It's really worthwhile, so I really do want you to hear that. So that's what we're going to do with Commodity Week this week on Thursday and Friday, and then, of course, Dave Dickey and I'll be back in the saddle on Monday once we get past the holiday. Now let's talk a little bit about the WILL website. You probably ought to visit that if you get the opportunity. Again, that's willag.org. Or you can dial the 333-3434 number. That is one of the couple of ways that we get to you beyond the radio stations. We hope that you like them and that you find them useful. In a couple of minutes, I'll return and we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast. The folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, will be here. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Cranberry Relish Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1862, Dr. Alexander P. Anderson was born. He developed puffed rice in New York City in 1902, which was introduced to the world at the St. Louis World Fair in 1904. In 1869, the Cutty Sark was launched. Built of teak on an iron frame, it featured a new hull shape that allowed it to be driven harder than any other ship of its day. It quickly was recognized as the fastest ship, taking the Cape of Good Hope route, carrying tea on the China Run. In 1884, wheat, to that date, recorded the lowest price in recorded history in Britain, commanding 93¼ cents per bushel, 15 cents lower than the previous all-time low. The value of agricultural property in England fell by half to two-thirds over a decade due to its free trade policies and repeal of its corn laws, designed to protect grain prices from foreign imports. In 1967, silver hit what was then a record $2.17 on New York markets. And in 1972, after Richard Nixon became the first U.S. sitting president to officially visit China earlier in the year, on this day, the U.S. ended a 22-year travel ban to China. 4 months later, in February of 1973, the U.S. and China agreed to establish liaison offices in Beijing and Washington, D.C. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I am so glad you're with me this afternoon. It's a little gray. Yeah, you laugh, but you don't know that I had to spend 3 minutes trying to figure out what I was going to talk about because during the cash grain segment, the Andersons weren't available. And I made three other phone calls, but just couldn't find anybody. So,
well, we're always here for you, Todd, yeah, at least 99% of the time.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you. And you warned me ahead of time, too. Thank you so much. Okay, so it's gray, a little wet, actually, here today. That's kind of unusual for, well, at least the last few weeks, anyway.
Well, yeah, we're seeing some shower and thunderstorm activity. In fact, some severe weather across sections of Illinois here today in advance of the cold front about ready to actually enter Illinois at this time. While the reason for the shower and thunderstorm activity is the cold front, but not only with that, it's the anomalous warmth out ahead of it. And the temperatures right now, over 20 to 25 degrees warmer than normal for this time of year, as high temperatures have climbed in the 70s as far north here as Chicago, basically, which is pretty unusual. And along with that, you have the very moist conditions that's helping to fuel some of these thunderstorms firing up across the Midwest. So we have that going through right now. Temperatures obviously going to crash here behind the cold front and then warm right back up again on Wednesday before then another cold front comes through Wednesday night. On into Thanksgiving morning, which then will drop temperatures yet again. So kind of a wild ride in temperatures over the next few days. Along with that, will be more rain, and more rain compared to what we've seen here, you know, over the past few months here with the drier bias. So that's certainly welcome, especially for winter wheat producers here in the Midwest.
Yeah, so we're going to crash. What, we have a high in the low 40s tomorrow, maybe upper 40s on Wednesday, and then crash back down into the 30s or something like that on for highs on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, or we get higher than that?
Yeah, Thanksgiving Day. And even on the Friday, we'll feature the coldest temperatures here of the cold season thus far here. But then that looks to, again, be followed by another warm-up late in the holiday weekend and in the early next week. So it looks like back to warmth before then another strong cold front pushes through after that. So roller coaster ride in temperatures coming up over the next 10 days.
I guess it is the month of November. We're headed into December. About time to change things over, isn't it?
Yeah, although the one thing that we're not seeing is any kind of, you know, major plunge or having any kind of long-duration cold across the Midwest. Now, granted, there's very cold air now across the northern plains up into western Canada where readings have dropped below zero here in recent days. And it's a little piece of that that's going to come down over the next day and then again that other shot on Thanksgiving. But we do not see a pattern here setting up that would promote, you know, long-duration cold, which we've seen at times here over the past several Decembers or late November, early December in recent years, especially last year, has featured weeks upon weeks of very cold. cold temperatures. And at least starting up for the first half of December, we do not see that lining up.
I'm okay with that.
It has its pluses and it has its minuses,
yes,
depending if you
it.
Like winter weather or not.
Yeah, it depends on whether you like insects in the fall, in the spring, in the summer, too, to some extent. Hey, thank you so much. I do appreciate you taking time with us today.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. You have a good day. I'm Todd Gleason.